This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. When millions of Californians went to the polls to vote on June 5th of this year, they made a basic assumption that people make about the American electoral system all the time, that their vote will be counted. But more than a month after the race, many questions remain, most of them tied to the poor training of poll workers and confusing voting rules, as well as the proper counting of vote by mail and provisional ballots. The questions are so serious that there has been at least one lawsuit filed against Secretary of State Alex Padilla. Joining me to take a look at what is happening in California is William Simpich. He is an attorney with Election Justice USA. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Hi, how are you, Sonali?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, give our audience a sense of what the problems were in California, because we've only heard anecdotal evidence. Anytime there's an election, there are anecdotes about people's experiences, personal experiences, but you don't really get a sense of system-wide problems. What's your overview of system-wide problems in the California primary?
Well, I expected it to happen, and so did my friends, and it did. The election system in California is effectively broken for people who are no party preference voters, which is a quarter of the state. And there's a lot of broken elements for the party people as well. And also for the people who try to observe these elections, there's no effective chain of custody. In Austria last week, they declared the election so irregular, even though there was no malfeasance, it was proven that they literally had to declare a revote. And I'm not saying it's going to happen here, but in a fair world, that's what would happen here, because this election was a joke.
And so you're comparing what happened in California to Austria, where just because there were some problems to be found, the entire country there decided to vote again. But in California, is there just this sense that you get that officials are just trying to certify the results and move on?
When you don't allow the observers to observe the count in a meaningful way where they can fully understand what they're seeing almost at all, you can't trust the security, you can't trust the integrity of the vote. Anybody could be stealing anything. So, and that's just one of the problems. I can stretch out a bit.
So let's actually just remind our audience about California. Essentially, the issue is that it was the parties for primary elections that usually decide who gets to vote, how they can vote. So in California, months before the election, the Democratic Party decided to allow independent voters, meaning those voters who have no party preference, that's their classification, could vote in the Democratic primary for their favorite Democratic candidate, but they had to ask for a provisional ballot in order to do so if they hadn't changed their registration to Democrat. Is that where a lot of the problems stem from, that people showed up at the polls on voting day, asked for a provisional ballot, weren't given one, or didn't know they had to ask for one, or voted by mail ahead of time and didn't vote the right way? Is that a lot of where the problems stem from?
That's a big piece of it. The first place to look at it is with the no party preference voters not being able to receive a presidential party ballot in the mail. Only 15% of the state, that's almost 2 million people, received their vote by mail. And the reason why is because the no party preference voters are given a totally separate ballot than the rest of the state. And again, this is one quarter of the electorate, 2 million people out of an 8 million electorate. Only 15% of them can get it by mail. And do the math, you know, about 50% of the state votes by mail. So these people have been discriminated against from the get-go. What made it worse was that the registrars in these counties created a soft deadline because they wanted to do their voter pamphlet a certain way. And they said, well, get us this information by mid-March or mid-April. And it was written in ambiguous language, leading a reasonable person to believe if you didn't open your U.S. mail, which most people don't for weeks at a time, and send it back to them in time, a whole different step than everybody else in the state has to do, you're not going to be allowed to vote for president. So now you've got over a million people with the impression they've been disenfranchised, and a lot of them just give up.
Go ahead.
Some people march on and try to vote, even though this happened to them. Whether they're vote by mail or not vote by mail, now they run into a whole new obstacle. If they don't use the magic words Democratic crossover ballot in a lot of counties, you won't get a no-party preference ballot with a Democratic line on it. Instead, you'll just get what I call a vanilla ballot with no ability to vote for, again, for President of the United States. And that's still just the start of the problem. I mean, I can't tell you how outrageous the situation is.
So this is the largest state in the nation that won, and that had many months into the primary season nationwide to try to get it right. It's not like it's one of the earliest states that votes. In fact, it's one of the last states that votes. How many of these problems were avoidable? I mean, how much of it was to do with just improper poll worker training?
Well, I want to get to the poll worker training, because the poll worker training is one of the central problems in this state and across the nation. All across the nation, poll workers are poorly trained, poorly paid, given 100-page booklets, just like the voters are given 100-page booklets, poorly edited, and they have really very little idea what they're doing in many instances. And these are wonderful, fine people, okay, who are treated like you know what. It's terrible the way they're treated, and it's terrible the way they're trained. The whole thing makes you want to tear your hair out in anguish. And the reason, when you get right down to it, is two. One is the registrars like it the way they have it, because they can subtly manipulate the results according to whatever the party they choose to favor. Okay, and this is going on for more than 200 years. This is not new. African Americans, Native Americans, women have been terribly discriminated against the polls throughout our nation's history, right up to the present day. I don't know if I need to repeat all these terrible statistics for your audience, but voting in America is a nightmare for anybody who's not white and upper middle class. And now it's come home to people who are white and upper middle class, because so many of them are no party preference. And they were discriminated all across the country. In many states like New York, they weren't allowed to vote at all. And this is why Bernie Sanders didn't win New York.
And that in New York, a big part of the problem was that the registration, you had to change your registration to Democratic in October of last year in order to vote in the Democratic primary. And if you didn't think so far ahead, you're basically out of luck. You weren't allowed to vote in the Democratic primary.
How many people knew in October 2015 that Bernie Sanders was even a candidate, yeah, much less had a fighting chance, and he still won 22 states, even though in many states the no-party preference voters, his biggest block of voters, the people he appeals to the most, more than the Democrats, he leads in NPP by 40, Hillary leads in Democrats by 30, and that's the rub, and this is where so much of the fight is. This is literal disenfranchisement for across the United States, and to going back to New York for a second, you've got a situation there where as soon as that 6 months deadline passed, now 126,000 Democrats were erased from the polls in Brooklyn.
Right.
His hometown, Bernie's hometown, 5 months before the primary. And nobody really realized it until Election Day. Two of the workers have been suspended. Nobody's been indicted. I doubt anybody will, just like no cops ever get indicted for shooting people. And what needs to happen, in a word, is this voting stuff needs to be treated in the same seriousness as Black Lives Matter, Fight for 15, the drug war. In fact, you could say the voting problems of the last 40, 50 years come right out of the drug war, because when Black people were able to vote in large numbers and young people were able to vote in large numbers, immediately the drug war was taken on by Nixon. Ehrlichman says it was in direct result to the enfranchisement and empowerment of Black people and young people in this country.
And now, of course, we have felons in so many states who can't vote. Let's talk about specifically California for a minute. The polls between Hillary Clinton, poll numbers between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in terms of how many votes they were expected to garner going into the election showed them neck and neck. There was a poll, I think, a couple of days before the election where Sanders might have been ahead by 1 point. And then, of course, the results come out, and of course, these aren't certified results, but the results are much, much more different. So the big question is, as far as you can tell, were the problems in California's primary election so great that they might have changed the final tally in terms of who was declared the winner and in terms of who got how many delegates proportionately for the state?
Absolutely. This is, wow, you know, what just one of the most enraging aspects of it. I'm not saying Bernie Sanders won, but boy, the polls were right.
Maybe he might have ended up with fewer delegates had the polls been fairer, had the vote election been fairer.
There's no question about it. Let me just run it down for you real quick. On election night, the gap was 12%, and I wasn't surprised. That's actually what I expected, given the irregularities. Now, 30 days later, after all the provisionals have been, quote, counted, unquote, I'll get to that next, now it's shrunk to 7%. Now, we've got reports all over the state of provisionals being counted in a biased way. And when I say biased way, I'm going to point to examples like the young people in the dorms in San Diego. Over and over and over again, because, you know, it was like break for summer, a lot of the students didn't write down their addresses, sometimes because they were literally had no address, they were going to move, they were about to move into a new place, or they were thinking about their folks' place. They didn't put down their address. Those provisional ballots were thrown out on that one technicality alone. Many of these ballots should not have been made provisional ballots at all. The reason Greg Palast bangs on provisional ballots as hard as he does, even though California is better than many states and 85% of them are counted, there's still 15% that isn't counted. That's tens of thousands of votes. And most of those votes should not be thrown out because of this nonsense about addresses, etc. Vote by mails are thrown out when the signatures aren't put on. People who forget to write their signatures are generally lower income people. When you make 80,000 or less in this state or the country, Bernie gets more votes than Hillary. So those are Bernie votes when people forget their signatures, okay? Big block of votes lost to Bernie. The NPP votes, hundreds of thousands of votes were not able to get to the polls because they were shut out by the misleading postcard telling him it was too late, or by the misleading instructions at the polls telling him that they couldn't have that ballot. Those are hundreds of thousands of votes. The gap is now down to about 300 to 350. There's every reason it would be down to, it could have been flipped or it could be razor sharp. In either case, the polls were right. The vote was suppressed is what happened here. And we're talking of a suppression here of like 12 points without including what Associated Press did the day before the election when they announced Hillary Clinton had won the entire Democratic nomination, which suppressed the vote just by suppressing people from going to the polls by an estimate of at least 5%. So what you add all things together, this is one of the most outrageous acts that's happened in election history.
So
if Bernie Sanders had won California despite the vote thing, that he would have still been lower in the Democratic vote, the momentum would have been seen as clearly his winning the biggest state in the country, one of the most important economies in the world.
So let's talk about what is being done in California. Tell us about the lawsuit that has been filed, at least one lawsuit, maybe more coming.
Yes. There's a wonderful lawsuit that's been filed in San Diego County by Ray Lutz, who is the head of Citizens Oversight, Inc. And Citizens Oversight, Inc. is waging this incredibly terrific battle. The battle is simply to justify the manual tally with the electronic tally. In other words, the paper ballots against the machines. People have fought against the machines for many years. I've been part of that battle, too. They're not reliable. In Germany and Ireland, in the last 5 years, they've been banned. The simple reason they've been banned is to make sure there's election integrity, because those machines are simply hard to regulate. You don't know, you know, if somebody's cheating or not. It's terrible, just terrible. And it creates all kinds of paranoia you don't want to have in an election. Just like not locking the back door of the storage area creates that kind of problem, which I'll get to in a minute. But what Ray has found out is that they don't count the provisionals and they don't count the late arriving vote by mail ballots. And they haven't been counting them for many years. And what this does, it enables a situation where these registrars, if they wanted to, could literally fix the election. And Michael Vu has a history of fixing elections as far back as 2000.
And he's the San Diego registrar who has a very odd and disturbing history and yet has managed to get a job as a registrar in San Diego.
Let's put it this way. He got caught, his co-workers were caught tampering with the pre-selected votes for the manual tally they have in Ohio. They set him up Bush, Kerry.
This was in the Bush-Kerry election. He was in Ohio. Then he ends up in San Diego, California, where there's now problems been seen as well.
And those workers were convicted in court for what they did. And they answered to him. And the person who blew the whistle was Vu's executive assistant. And then Vu's executive assistant was told in Ohio, you will never get a job in this state again. And Vu's up to the same nonsense as far as we're concerned. This is like the fifth time he's been caught in election integrity problems. But this is one of the most serious of them all.
Well, how does somebody like that keep getting jobs in such situations? You know, aren't the people hiring them checking their background?
That's exactly the ironic thing here. He was literally forced to resign by his own admission in early 2007. And then he was picked up by San Diego County literally weeks later.
Wow.
And vaulted to be the head of their voting. So it seems like they wanted this guy because they knew he could do what he was doing. San Diego was called by Richard Nixon his lucky city. San Diego has a long history of corruption. And so do many other counties in this state on this issue, which is not well known. And so much of it is voter suppression. It's much easier to prove voter suppression than it is to prove the machines. And many times the voter suppression tactics are entirely, quote, legal, unquote. It's the most outrageous situation you can imagine. And we're forcing it to light. We're not just bringing it to light.
So, Bill, give out a website where people can find out more, or where can they kind of keep track of all of these problems?
Election Justice USA is an organization I work with and can recommend. If you Google those words, you'll get right in there. They're taking reports all through California and from all across the nation. Puerto Rico had terrible problems. You know, they had voting booths up in the second floor of buildings so that, you know, the poor people with leg injuries who were Bernie people literally couldn't walk upstairs. It just goes on and on, these kind of stories.
And of course, we tend to not worry about these things till right before the next election. So I'm so grateful that you're joining us today to discuss this, you know, and soon after a certain election, in the hopes that before the next one, some of these problems might be addressed.
Some of these problems have got to be addressed, or you're going to have Trump as president in November.
Oh, goodness. Right. So before November, at least. Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
William Simpich is an attorney with Election Justice USA. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.